food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
For the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 18 August 2021. We're glad you're with us tonight. I'm going to just hang in there, folks. I'm going to bring up a very special guest in a minute, and I'm going to share a testimony tonight before getting to the guest and discuss some things that just happened a few days ago in Afghanistan. I'm going to give my viewpoint on that for a couple of reasons. We're going to get to our guest tonight, Scott Kesterson, who's going to share his ideas on this. And also tell you about where we're going to be next week in St. Charles, Missouri. So don't go away. You don't want to miss this. Please don't miss it. Now, tomorrow is office day. And the girls will be here tomorrow. I'll not be here tomorrow. I'll be heading out tomorrow morning early to go to head to Kansas City, Missouri to see my granddaughter that I haven't seen in 2 years. Be back sometime late Sunday, early Monday. Heading out then Wednesday morning to go out to meet Scott Kesterson face-to-face in St. Charles for a Bard's Fest revival. And I hope some of y'all come and join us. I really do. We'll tell you more about that in a minute. So the next 2 weeks I won't be here, but hopefully Crystal and Judy will be. Now, Crystal is about ready to be another grandma again. Her daughter, Faith, is expecting any day. So if something happens, she wouldn't be here. You know what? You know, she's had to be there for her granddaughter being born. So the next couple of weeks, I won't be at the next week on the radio, but you're not going to miss me because we're going to have Glenn Parnum on, Deborah Tavares, and Wayne Elliott will be filling in for me next week. You're not going to miss me at all. I'll be back with you the following week, though, Lord willing, back in a normal routine if the Lord allows. But do try to tune in and check things out. Call the office tomorrow if you like. I said girls will be here. You want to place an order for a T-shirt or a book or whatever you want to do, or give a donation, folks. We'd appreciate it. We really, sincerely do need some donations. With all my heart, I mean that. Don't forget, we're still offering a T-shirt. Beautiful T-shirt. And it says on it a huge statement that may get you in trouble somewhere. It says, no fear. Picture of a lion, not masked, sheep that are masked. And on the bottom of that says 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given the spirit of fear. Now, that shirt's available, folks. I think you'll be glad to wear it. $24.95. They went up $3 because my cost went up $3. What can I say? They do what they do, and then that's just how it happened. And we still have the 2-for-1 on the REM sleep and tranquil. It's 2-for-1. Order them while you can. Get them while you can. I mean, it's going to go off one day. I don't know when. I thought it'd be off 2 months ago, but it hasn't been. But when that goes, you're going back up to full price. And if you use the products, and tranquil, folks, does work, please call at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. And this will be the last time I'm going to mention a teaching I did, America, Why Will You Die? I pray that you get a copy of that, make copies for your friends. It's not copyrighted, folks. I'm telling you, this scripture is being fulfilled, and I took it bit by bit to prove it. 15 years ago or longer, I said there's a time coming in this country, because it's biblical. We're going to have passports across state lines. Biden just proposed closing state lines with checkpoints to make sure that you've been tested for COVID or you've had a vaccine and a passport. Biden just suggested that idea. Folks, hitch up your loins and put on your sword. Battle is here, and it's going to increase tremendously over the next couple months. Biden also just told all the people that get federal grants, like nursing homes and hospitals, you don't get a dime until your whole staff's vaccinated. This is a push that's not going to go away. Either we push back and stand up, or we cower in a corner and obey our masters. I am a sheep in the fold of my Savior, but I am a lion in the face of tyrants. Death does not scare me. Living gets kind of old, folks. Living's wearing me out, but death doesn't scare me. Makes me angry when someone does that to me or my family. What makes me angry, though, is when the church keeps their mouth shut and don't say anything about it to their people in their fellowships. They keep their mouth shut, cower in a corner, and follow their master's will. They're walking in fear, which is walking in Satan, and I refuse to do that. Now, before I start preaching here, Scott, I'm going to bring you up. Scott Kestrel, you there?
How you doing, Pastor?
I'm a little fired up, Scott. A little fired up.
Fired up all week. I've been fired up all week since we took a country that we shouldn't have been in the first place.
Right.
And then we made a promise to them. We made a commitment to them and then walked out on them and stuck a knife in every one of their backs.
Absolutely.
And now we are walking away from an obligation, and this is not what a nation of man supposed to be based on God does. We don't do that. This is ridiculous. Pastor, if you don't mind, I'm just going to tell just an updated story a little bit right here real quick.
Okay, sure.
My interpreter saved my life three times. Now, he's a Muslim. I just want to make a point here. I sponsored him to come over here, and he is one of the most proud and loyal Americans. He called me last night saying his whole life now is fighting to help save this nation. And then he told me about another guy that worked with us. And this man is at his last leg. Of all the people he worked with over there, and he did a little bit of work for me, the only person he has left that can write him a letter, and he was a great guy, to help him get sponsored to the embassy is me. Everybody else on the American contingent enlisted he had walked away from him and threw their hands up. The desperation that's going on in that nation right now is unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
Americans have no idea what desperation is. And I know you are in Vietnam, and this is, I was in Afghanistan for 3.5 years. There are great people over there, and I'm watching friends getting slaughtered. In fact, they just announced a police chief that was shot today in the cricket stadium. I didn't know him personally, but I know of him. He was a great man. He's now being executed, and this is only just beginning, and
this is all
because of the way this administration just up and ran like the damn cowards that they are and the worthless people they are. They have no soul and no concept of what it is to be an American.
They have no integrity, no integrity. And I want to get this a lot more. I want to turn you loose in this minute, but I want to share something. But I do want to go into this. I want to share some things happening when Gold Star mothers are upset because of what happened in Afghanistan. Now, I want to go back to Vietnam, obviously, because I was there. I want to share this because I want you to speak from your heart, and I know you will. But let me tell you something happened to me last night, brother, and I'm going to just share this because I feel like I should. I refused to wear a mask. I was sick in the hospital last January. Then when we come back for a follow-up, they thought I may have had a heart attack. I said I had to wear a mask. Yes, I won't be there. I haven't been back to the doctor since then that took care of me in the hospital. I have a local doctor who sees me without a mask, but I won't go back to the hospital and wear a mask. I'd be unconscious if I didn't do it, because I won't do it. And people say, that's stubborn, that's wrong. No, it's a conviction in my heart. It really is, Scott. It's a conviction in my heart, but I wasn't even sure about that until last night. I'm leaving tomorrow morning, my wife and I, to go see our granddaughter, who's been in a girl's Christian home for the last 6 or 8 months because she had her life all screwed up, drugs and everything else. She's doing very well now, doing very well. Thanks to people's prayers that prayed for Allison, she's doing very well. So tomorrow's our first chance to go see her. And I haven't seen her in over 2 years. So we're taking a trip to Kansas City tomorrow to go see her. Last night, her mom called. She got a great mom. and said, well, you have to wear a mask to get in the restaurants to eat. And I said, I got a huge problem with that, but I didn't go any more detail because I had to sort some things up in my mind. So I went to bed last night by 11:30, and I had a hard time sleeping. I thought, if I don't go, it's going to break people's hearts. It's going to break my heart. I was almost in tears. It's going to break my wife's heart. I can't go. But I woke up at 3:30. What tiny bit of sleep I had. I lay in bed about 4, and my wife came to bed and later in the morning. I told her what was going on. She cried a little bit. She said, whatever you want to do, sweetheart, it's fine with me. I trust you. And I thought, wow, that's a strong woman. But anyway, I got up, went in the front room, sat on the chair, tried to think things through, went back and typed my daughter-in-law and my son an email explaining why I couldn't be there with the mask to wear. And I went in the bathroom finally about 9 o'clock. I said, I got to shave and get in today. I got things I have to do today. I was so burdened, Scott. I was sick. I was literally dizzy. I had a hard time walking straight. That's how burdened I was. Now, this is a true story. For so help me, it is. I was dizzy and a little bit nauseated because I was so burdened over this. I said, Lord, is this something that I refuse to do or something that you want me to do to stand on principle and conviction? Please let me know which one it is, so I won't mess up my family's life or do something to disappoint you. I was standing in the bathroom shaving about 9:15, 9:30, and that burden lifted off of me. I can't describe it. It's never happened that way before. It's like I walked out of a hot vat of oil into a cool shower. I mean, it lifted. I felt 20 pounds lighter. It lifted, and he said, more or less, I could hear my spirit, well done, son. You obeyed me. Now I'm gonna open the doors for you. We called the motel. The motel said, a mandate is on here, but we can't force you to wear it. Come on. I also got some restaurants from the motel, the lady worked at the motel, but restaurants are serving the outdoors. Well, and we found 3 of those. So my daughter-in-law called me reservations at one of them. We can eat outdoors. But she also told the waiter that said, I'm going to have an old man with me that won't wear a mask. And they said, well, that's all right. Bring him in. So I want you to know, Scott, that I was concerned to the point of being physically ill. I obeyed my father. He blessed me, released the burden, and opened the door for me and my wife to see her granddaughter. Now, how's that for a blessing?
I think that is an absolute blessing. I think that's the way God works, Pastor. I think you and I both know. I mean, he finds us. He gives us the way. I need to find the scripture as we're talking, but he gives us the way of always giving us a way out, even though we may not feel like there is one. And it may not always be the easy, but he gives us a choice. And I think this is what people truly, truly forget, is that when you're caught and bound in these certain areas, God's going to give you a way out. I think it's right here. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Those are powerful words.
It doesn't mean,
and it doesn't say that you're going to be able to celebrate it. It says to endure it. So as you just pointed out, as we're all finding out, we have the burdens we carry when we walk with Christ are real, but we can't
vary
from that path.
They will wear you out physically, and he didn't promise me when I was going through the burden that he would get me there. I may have had to stand and say I can't go, and it may make people angry, it may hurt people. I pray not, but it could have. When he lifted the burden off of me, at that moment, I was content with the decision I made, and then he opened the doors. Now that's a God we serve.
It is. You know, that kind of, if you don't mind, I don't want to come off of that point of Afghanistan, but I just want to point out something very recent that was very much like that, where we had, and it's Barge Fest, and it was a very similar issue in the sense of burden. I was not sleeping at night. I was burdened by, we had been deplatformed. We had an unbelievable confusion in our ticket sales. We lost an amazing amount of ticket sales. I'm looking at, you know, the promise that I made to God that this was his event. We had 2 different locations. And it again, the decisions had to be made and the way was shown. And I committed, my prayers were, Lord, this is your event. You need to guide me. And if I'm wrong on this, and I was doing the same thing, Pastor, it's like, if I misread you, if I put my ego before your desires, then show me. And the thing is that we ended up consolidating down to one venue. right? And that's
right.
And with it, the whole thing was able to be transformed. And it's and doing so again, it's a ton of work, but God shows the way, and He shows us how to endure that moment and to persevere. And I think that's a powerful thing. And I think the part of what you're getting at is when we can't sleep, it is an important sign, because we are, the struggles that we're carrying are very real, and it's
Amen.
God also trying to push us into that place of like, this is where you need to go. Stay there. It doesn't mean it's comfortable, but I need you to stay there, right? Stay the path.
Amen to that. That is absolutely right on. Sometimes a burden will take you down physically and mentally, and it did me until He released it. And He did. He knows what I could bear. He took it away just to give me. When I lifted, the dizziness went away. I felt great. I got into the day and got busy, and He opened every door for us. You know, I do want to discuss Afghanistan. I truly do. I want to discuss, so if you don't mind, very quickly, Nam. I was alive then. I know I'm a lot older than you are, but I was in Vietnam from 70 to 71. Vietnam, Thailand is where I was stationed, and we were over in Laos a few times too. Laos back then was not supposed to be occupied by anybody, but it was, and we were there some ourselves on communication sites. My job was a Morse code intercept operator, and I tracked MiG planes and our planes also, and watched their movements and troop movements and everything else. That's what I did. Nonetheless, I didn't know. My dad was a World War II veteran, wounded, prisoner of war. He did what he thought was right, and I did too. I went into the military. I joined the Air Force. I didn't know about things such as unjust wars. Later, I found out, obviously. And we were duped into Vietnam. We were duped into Korea. We were even duped into World War II. We were duped in Afghanistan. But this is the point. We went over there. I did what I was supposed to do. I lost several friends in Nam. I lost more when they come home from COVID, from Agent Orange, for example. Carl Donaldson, a good friend of mine, went to school with him, passed away with cancer because of Agent Orange. I have two friends now who have cancer, and they're in the same age I am from Agent Orange. My pancreas was fried. I am a full-fledged diabetic. I take 3 shots a day plus medicine because I had no pancreas. But I would rather have my pancreas than being home, being healthy, you know, if you know what I'm saying. But I went. Naive as I was, I went. And I come home, and I was still one ashamed that I served. Not the time. I got home in April 71. We withdrew from Nam about the same time. They started taking troops out and left. And then Saigon fell in 75. And I still saw pictures. I mean, in my mind, I see him, people trying to get on the helicopters. They had to block them off. They couldn't get them on. People trying to flee with us to the U.S. because we promised them things. We have people who give their lives for us, for what they believed in, because they believed in us. They believed in U.S., us. They believed we would be with them and help them do what we said we was going to do. It didn't only cost us about 60,000 innocent men on our side. And that's just the ones that died while we were there, not the ones committed suicide and died with other disease when they come back. Probably another 60,000 did that. And also killed a lot of civilians. The war turned into chaos. But a lot of people got rich after this war, folks. Believe me, heroin was a big deal in Nam. And so, by the way, it was oil. I know for a fact they packed heroin in body bags on C-130s and flew it out of there. This I know. I was stationed on bases where it came out of. I'm telling you these things. We did this to the people. They trusted us, and we deserted them. The same thing has happened now in Afghanistan. Now Vietnam is a trading partner with us. We fought them. We started trading with them. Now, I'm not going to get into that point right now. But our friend here, Scott, was in Afghanistan 3 years. And when Biden, not by himself, Trump started it. Obama said he's going to do it. Bush got involved and was going to do it. And Trump, matter of fact, Trump said about a year ago he was wanting the Taliban to take over so they could help kill terrorists. This is what Trump said. Don't be giving Trump accolades, folks. He's the one that started the fast move on vaccinations or the inoculations with the COVID-19 vaccines. He's the one that started all that. So don't give him a lot of praise. He doesn't deserve it. But nonetheless, we walked out of Afghanistan. The moms and daddies and the wives that lost their husbands and their sons and their daughters, Vietnam, Korea, now in Afghanistan, had nothing to show for it. Matter of fact, the Gold Star mothers had sons lost in Afghanistan are kind of angry, and I don't blame them. They're upset. They're fed up, as many people were back in Vietnam era. They were fed up. They were snookered, and they knew it. They knew it. We will not deserve these people. America, America, America is finished as a world dominating power. America is finished. The Al-Qaeda is now again ready to come in and to join the Taliban in Afghanistan. And Al-Qaeda put up a site on their social media, and I'm trying to find it real quick. I'll read to you, and back to my guest. They call this the year of running away. Talk about the U.S. It's something to be deeply ashamed of. No, we shouldn't have been in the first place. We should not have been there. But you don't go over there and help. Say we're going to help these people build something and desert them. You don't do that. That is absolutely immoral, ungodly, and America is paying and is going to pay hell because of this and a whole lot more. Now, I'm going to turn it over to you, Scott. You go ahead.
Well, Pastor, a lot of what you say I agree with. And it kind of goes like 3.5 years over there. You learn the people. Most of my time over there, I was very blessed because I got to be down at the village level, and I got to work with the people. My job was a very different type of job. I went around. I started out as a filmmaker over there. I had free access to everything I needed. I worked with our soldiers. I worked independently in the villages. Later on, when I worked with special operations teams, I did the same thing. My whole focus down there was to understand what was going on in the villages, to empower these people, to get them to stand up on their own, and to do the things to help give them those tools so they could stand up and take and help the teams that were helping them build the local strength so that they could be, we could get out of there. Okay. It was a small contingent. I worked for a small team. We had 45 people at a national level. We had special forces teams all over the nation. It was a hand-selected group, and we were basically doing the bulwark of that entire war. The rest of that activity of our 30, 40,000 people, that was the big army trying to make a lot of money through defense contracting machine is what it was. So at the end of the day, when I see where we are today, and these are real people, I was just reading some comments earlier, and people were making comments like, I don't care about the Afghans, just get the Americans out of there. This is the most despicable statement ever, because these Afghans were giving our lives, were giving their lives for a promise that we made. Granted, I'm agreeing with you 100%. We didn't need to be back past in that country, past Operation Anaconda, which was in January, February of 2002. We should have pulled out after that. But because of big army contracts, because of the defense industry, because of all the other
heroin,
dirty politics.
Heroin.
Heroin's huge. Absolutely. That's the CIA's hand in it again, moving their stuff around. Because of all that nonsense going on, Afghanistan became a black hole of billions of dollars every year. Most people don't realize that in 2006, when they were doing the surge in Iraq, to hide the surge, they would ship weapons to Afghanistan. Weapons that were desperately needed by the soldiers, and they would take them from the soldiers and then ship them over to Iraq so they wouldn't show up on the Iraq registry so that we could build up in Iraq. We had soldiers literally going out in the field in 2006 without even an M240 Bravo, which would have been an M60 in your day. So they literally unequipped because their weapons were being taken away from them and sent to Iraq so that people wouldn't know that we weren't supporting Afghanistan and we're dumping junk into that fight for Bush's war. So the whole thing here is we should not have been in Afghanistan as long as we were. As you said, though, we were, and we made that choice. And because of that, after 20 years of building a partnership, we just up and ran. Now, we had to get out of there. And at some point or another, there was going to be a crisis in Afghanistan because of the corruption, which we made, by the way.
Absolutely,
so
we did.
The corruption
yes.
has always been there. But people have no idea how corrupt this war was. The billions of dollars that we pumped into warlords' pockets, we made warlords with the money that we dumped in there. And so we created much of that problem. But nonetheless, even at that, a scale down and a phase out was necessary in a correct way to ensure the safety of the many that we had made a promise to, and yes, to bring them over here. That may make Americans uncomfortable, but if we're going to pull out, we owe that to the people that made the loyalty to us to fight and fight for us and fight with us and save a lot of our boys. In my first summer there, my first summer there, people don't know what this is. It's called the ramp ceremony. And I don't know if they had those in Vietnam, but it's where the casket of the soldier is loaded onto the plane and everybody comes out and gives a salute international just to put those caskets on the plane and fly home. My first summer there, I sat through 35 different ramp ceremonies. Most of the time, they were 2 a.m. in the morning when they were flying those bodies out. Those are lives mainly of Americans that were getting killed. Most of them were special operations guys. So we get the cost of life and the sacrifice of physical limbs on people's bodies to this war, and then to turn around and end it like this is not, it's the most despicable thing for our
Absolutely.
Nation. And it, to me, it reveals the true heart of what our nation is being led by. This is pure evil. These people are so far off of an understanding of what it is to have God on the throne of this nation. If we had had, again, the immoral, the place of being in the war should never have been in there as long as we were. And if we really understood 9/11, we wouldn't have been in there in the first place. But
there you go. Yes, absolutely.
Right?
That's true.
Just like
Nam, the Gulf of Tonkin never happened. We know that. We know now.
Correct.
We know that Pearl Harbor was planned before, and they knew about before it happened because they wanted America in the war. And now China. Now, you can't blame China for saying this. So the U.S. has all just hegemony in the world, and it has. Matter of fact, they said, one of the media outlets in China said, once a war breaks out between with us and Taiwan, America will pull out. And he's right. They said Taliban's rapid victory embarrasses the U.S., smashes image, arrogance, and said that whenever they go into Taiwan, the war breaks out, America would leave Taiwan also. Now, how's Taiwan or any other nation going to trust us now? How are they going to trust us? How are they going to know we'll stick with them in a war? We walked out in Vietnam, we walked out in Afghanistan, we still made it in Korea. I mean, all these things. America has not won a war since World War II, basically. How are we gonna have anybody in this world trust us as an ally?
I don't know how they can. In fact, this is what I would tell people openly. Don't. Right now, if you're counting on trusting in America, don't do it. Because I guarantee you, with the chaos that we're in this time, with all the fraud and the corruption in our nation, you're going to get screwed. So don't. And I know that may be a hard pill for people to swallow.
It's true.
But the reality, we are in an absolute disaster in our nation. We are being led by people that are godless. We are being led by people that are ruthlessly self-consumed. We are being led by an ideology that's based on me and not about our great Lord. None of that.
Amen.
People are all about whatever they can stuff in their damn pocket, and they can walk out here and line their pocket and smile. And the worst part about it, when you get into the defense industry, and I work there, is it's an enjoyment to make money on the factors of war. There is nothing better, nothing worse in God's eyes, and nothing better for Lucifer's eyes than that right there.
The love of money.
The love of money at any cost. And worse yet, the love of money because of war.
Now, hang on through the break, please, Scott. Hang on through the break. Folks, if you want to join the conversation, welcome to 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Don't go away.
This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store with food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best storable foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Numana.com, or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
All right, folks, we are back, and don't forget, Crystal will be in the office tomorrow. I hope you call and talk to her and Judy. I really do. And if you want to place order, please do so. I promise you these girls don't need me here. I'm just a mouthpiece. They'll be able to take care of everything for you, and I hope she'll be back with you next Thursday unless your daughter has her second grandchild. But give us a call in the office tomorrow at 800-777-4403. Or, if you have long distance, 304-846-4448. Before I forget, I want to send a thank you to France, to a lady named Blue, B-L-E-W-B-L-E-U. She sent a donation today. She has a couple times in the past through Western Union to help us get through in this ministry, folks. We've been so blessed to know this lady from France. She listened to the broadcast. She said she wished her husband would have lived long enough to hear me on the radio. Well, she is supporting us as best she can from France. And I will tell you, as I said last night, we're down really low this month on donations. I hate even saying it, but I have no choice. If we're blessing you, you got to supply us with ammo. That's all I can say. You got to supply us with the means to keep going. I can't fight the war by myself. But thank you, Blue. Thank you so much for your generous offering. Thank you so much. Now, back to our guest, Scott Kesterson. Folks, we'll talk about Bard's Fest in a minute. We're getting around to it right now. We're sharing information back and forth. I just shared with you in a break that Cambridge University put out a letter, if you would. I'm looking for it right now, that maybe you should very quickly look up online. I'm trying to find it very quick. I'm sorry it's taking time. I should have had it earlier. I forgot about this now. Cambridge University Press advocates, now listen to this, Cambridge University Press advocates for bestiality. Uh-huh. Oh, don't worry about it. God bless America. God kept bless America. Let's apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah and all the nations destroyed since then. He can't bless America. He can't, and he won't. Now, Scott, you're going to have a revival coming up. That's what you're calling it, and I agree with you. That's what it's going to be. You're expecting several thousand people there and a few hundred thousand watching online. And I've been honored to be part of this, that you invited me to speak, and I hope I glorify our Father in heaven. And what people think of me, I really don't care. I'm going to preach what I'm given as best I can. I'm not by any means a perfect man or that great a speaker. I'm a hillbilly. I barely speak English. But I do the best I can to get the message across that he gives me because I serve a mighty God. Then I want you to tell the folks where it's going to be and how it's going to be a donation basis. Give them some information how they can find us starting next Thursday.
Yes, sir. So this revival is in St. Louis, Missouri, which is in the heart of the nation.
St. Louis or St. Charles? St. Charles.
It's in St. Louis. It's St. Louis. That's in St. Louis.
Oh.
The original, so this is where it gets a little confusing for folks, and I'm just going to clear this up tonight. We had two venues. One was in St. Louis County, and one was in St. Charles County. We consolidated everything into the St. Louis venue, the St. Louis County venue in Hazelwood, Missouri. And they're only 9 miles apart, so it's not
like
a big show.
And folks, the address is easy, 5555 St. Louis Mills, M-I-L-L-S, Road. 5555, that'd be a good poker hand, St. Louis Mills Road, and that's in Hazelwood, Missouri. Go ahead.
So the entire, we went through a process after we, a lot of different things that went on, and we wouldn't have to get into all of it tonight because we got into it the other night, but to say that we got hit by the left, we got deplatformed our ticket sales. So what we did, this is where some of the confusions come in, because the ticket sales venues say that the event's been canceled. The event is not canceled. The event is happening, is bigger than ever. But what we did, which we prayed on, and I feel this is exactly the way God wants it, I feel comfortable saying that, is this entire event is a donation-based event. So let me explain how that works. We don't have fixed ticket prices. If you want to come, come, and you go and get tickets, you can go on and you go to our website, bardsfest.com. You can get your ticket. And right there, when you get your ticket, it'll say, do you want tickets? And you click on that button and you fill out how much you want to pay for a ticket. That's on you. That's on your heart. Whatever you want to pay for a ticket. If you can't afford a ticket, you can email us. It says tickets at Bards Fest or BardsFM.com. You can email us and tell us that. But then you can purchase up to 7 tickets per transaction at whatever rate or whatever fee you can afford. So you purchase those tickets. If you aren't going to attend and you would like to donate to support the event, which we are graciously accepting donations, you can click the donation button and it'll take you right over and you can donate to whatever category you feel you'd like your money to go to. We are stewarding every dollar here to help make this event come true. And thanks to the unbelievable grace of many, many patriots and Christians around this country, we're able to build this model now where we don't have to have set ticket fees. We don't have to have assigned seating or one person's going to get more here or less there. None of that. This is an event that's open as a revival should be. It's an amazing space. It's got an indoor and an outdoor area to it. We've set this up for families to come together and to enjoy and to celebrate God's love. So we have a big outdoor stage with a big Megatron, and we've got speakers like yourself. We have pastors from all over the nation, Pastor Tony Wood, Pastor John Benzinger, Pastor Travis Graham, Pastor Casper McLeod, Pastor Dave Scarlett, yourself. We have great speakers coming in. And in addition to that, we've got people like Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Carrie Madej, all the lead doctors in this current day that are also filled with the Lord and trying to fight for truth. And then we have in the evening, and we have prayer and worship in the day, prayer, worship, music going on. In the evening, we have music just to celebrate our glory all the way through this event. 10 to 10 every day. One ticket gets you in for all 4 days. And so at the end of the evening, of the first evening, near the evening, we're going to be doing the blowing of shofars and the breaking of 300 pots, clay pots that are handmade by a potter in Alabama to bring the light. And we're doing this as a celebration of the idea of Gideon. And then at the end, on Sunday evening, we're going to do the same thing. We're not the pots, but we're going to blow 300 shofars. So this whole event is about centered around a revival of our nation, of our love for the Lord, and resetting God on the throne of this nation as we were intended, as the Declaration of Independence outlines, and to humble ourselves before Him to pray for the healing of this land. We need this more than ever right now. This
Amen. What time does it start?
At 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, or Monday, Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, excuse me, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which is the 26th, 27th, 28th. We're starting at 10 a.m. and it goes till 10 p.m. at night. And on Sunday morning, the final day, we start at 7 a.m. and we go till 6 p.m.
Okay, folks, you heard this. And some speakers you didn't mention you might want to be interested in, like Dr. Pam Popper and Dale Bigtree, and also Mike Lindell, who's proven election fraud. These people are going to be there to share their hearts and share their thoughts and ideas with us. We need to work together. I don't know what the Father's going to do with this event. I'm not in charge of knowing. It's not my business what he does. My business is to be obedient. Whatever he wants to do is up to him. Whether this turns into a revival that reaches a nation and turns something around for a few years by his grace, hallelujah. Or whether it's something we come together and lift each other up and encourage each other to stand through what's coming in this future, in the near future. Hallelujah. Brother, I don't know the American, I'm almost certain America cannot be turned around, but that is not the point. We're going to do what we're called to do. Somebody's going to be blessed by this. Somebody's going to be born again because of this. Some Christians are going to get their eyes open because of this. Our job is to do what's right. You know, Thomas Jefferson, I think, once said, or Edmund Burke said, perhaps, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. We have got to do something to glorify our Father in heaven and edify his people. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And Pastor, if I can just add something I've been saying lately, and I it's really what I see is what we're bringing together is a true remnant, a remnant of God's followers and a remnant church. And I think that this is important for us to realize, and it does not matter what system we're under. Our mission for God never changes. This is something I think that people need to really grasp is, yes, it's difficult to watch the illusion of what we thought was democracy or a republic fall apart. It was an illusion for a lot of years, most of our lives, if not all of it. But the fact of the matter is, our mission with God never changes. And I say that because the only opportunity we have in this nation is for that remnant to get reengaged in our world, to get reengaged in our politics, or reengaged in the communities, to start bringing God back into these positions. We are dealing with a leftist insurgency because they took over everything as Christians sat outside and slept. And so we're dealing with a forced ideology upon us that's kicking God out. And if we sit and continue this, there is no hope, period. The only opportunity that we have right now is to be able to, for us, to step back into that fight, to be glorious in our commitment with our walk in Christ, and to stand up and to speak truth and to assume those positions of influence and start steering this ship back to God. That's on us. God's not going to just sit here and go, okay, I'll fix it for you. No, he's going to work through us. And if we will do the work, I don't know where that leads, but I know one thing. It's like I said to somebody the other day, and I may have even said it to you. It was, if God called me today and said, Scott, Christ is coming here in 30 minutes, I'd say, okay, God, I'll tell you what. In 29 minutes and 45 seconds, I'll start thinking about it. Because until then, I'm going to do your work as your servant. I mean, we need to be focused on what that means. Right. So I think that, you know, the biggest message we're hoping to carry out for all of this, for everybody in this moment in time, is that we have actions to do immediately. There's no more sitting in the pews praying to have God save it for you. You've got to get up, get into the world, get into your community, carry the Lord with you, walk with Christ, and get engaged in your community in whatever capacity you can. That means being involved, getting involved in so many different ways, and not just through the church. It means being alive in your community.
Everywhere. It's not, listen, we're the church. It's not the building, it's not the pastor, or any individual together. The church is the body of Christ. And you may not be a preacher, you may not be able to speak on the radio, but you can do something. You can share gospel tracts, you can witness people. A lot of things you can do if you want to. But I want to take up phone calls real quick before we run out of time. Just, if you don't mind, Scott, let's go first to let's go to Roger in Colorado. Roger, come on in. You haven't called for a long time. Welcome.
Hey, Butch. It's good to hear you always, and thanks for having Scott on. Hey, Scott, sounds like your revival is going to be a really wonderful gathering. But look, man, we should have not been there so long until people like you start mentioning that we got to keep arresting Dick Cheney, George Bush, Rudy Giuliani. Until we just go on and on about arresting these people, I got to say, man, you're just stroking people. I mean, God's going to judge us all for what we do and don't do. But
that's
if
right.
You don't start talking about Dick Cheney, George Bush, Rudy Giuliani as the real perpetrators and that we should have never been there at all, I mean, come on, my God.
Well, you know, I know what you're coming from on that, and I agree with what these people need to be exposed. Scott can't do it all, and I can't either. I wish I could get more than that myself. But there are other people out there that could do this if they would step up to the plate and do it, Roger. Some people that God could call specifically for that reason. But very few people are willing to go to work. The harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. So you should maybe start a little podcast and do these things. Really, you have the ability, you're a good speaker. Start your own podcast and get there and get rolling.
Pastor, I'm not on the internet. I'm on shortwave and the phone. But to have Scott answer that, why isn't he going after Bush and Cheney?
Roger, you don't listen to my podcast, apparently. So you're calling in here, taking one show and making a judgment on me, and I tell you to back down. Very simply. I have called out all those people on my podcast. And you said you're not on the internet, so you're not listening to my show. And my show has 15 million people listening to it. So my point is, you listen to one conversation here where we've been focusing on Bard's Fest and a revival, and you don't hear a couple names, and you make a judgment on me? Shame on you. I'm sorry. That's not a way to be. That is not the way I'm going to take it. I have called out all people, and I go deep down into that rabbit hole of exactly who is responsible and what the accountability is.
And you know, Roger, you could, I know you probably don't like the internet, and I don't either, but if it means getting the Word of God out, link up to it. Start speaking out. I said, you have the ability. God will give you the ability. He'll give you the words to say. You just got to trust him. But link up to it and do it. I got to jump another call, but good call, Roger. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. But folks, you know what Roger said? Yeah, I know for sure Scott's done this. I know he has. But, and this is not being, I'm not at all being judgmental or trying to be mean-spirited. But goodness gracious, start your own thing. If you feel in your heart that the heart needs to be done, do it. I did it almost 29 years ago, and I didn't want to do it. So do it. Let's go next to Chris in Kentucky. Chris, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Butch. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, I tell you what, still living in this communist state with this governor, it's just driving me nuts.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Anyway, you're right on about the history of the wars. You know, my grandmother, like I said, immigrated here during the Weimar Republic in Austria when all the brown shirts were rising up before Hitler was elected. You know, you're absolutely correct on how wars are manufactured. The League of Nations failed after World War One, so they had to have a bigger war, World War Two, to get the United. Then, of course, they got the United Nations in. Here we are, 80 years later. We had, like you said, in Vietnam. Remember the fall of Saigon in 1975. We saw that in Afghanistan. It just keeps going. They want world dictatorship to take us down. We, on a local level, people have to bound together, quit being afraid. People look at me like I'm crazy. They get scared, and they run off. You know, it's going to be too late. And then when something happens, they wake up. Don't look at me as the lifeboat of the Titanic. You know what I'm going at?
I certainly do. I certainly do.
Because there's a lot of good people out there. I found a church. I visited with the pastor. He's a Second Amendment pastor. I like it because they're all armed in there. I like that church. And I still want to make sure that he's not 501c. You know where 501c does? It controls churches.
There's a 95% chance that he is. I want you to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. But we've all got to, I'm doing what I can, but don't get discouraged when people walk away or mock you. Move on. You will find some like-minded people out there. You just got to find them. They're out there. Then we can get involved.
If I remember right, they mocked Christ and finally crucified him, and same thing with the disciples. Anything else you want to say, Chris? Scott, anything you want to say to Chris?
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, I just want to have your prayers for 2 weeks, and you're going to have some great guests. And remember what Jesus did with the money exchangers. Do what he did and get out there and get at these politicians and get our life back and get and just be free again.
Amen. And hang on a second, Chris. Anything you want to say to Chris, Scott?
Well, Chris, you made some good points, and God bless you. I mean, it's the one thing about the churches, that 501c3 is a huge problem. I talk about it all the time on my show. It is one of the most corrupting influences we've ever had, and it's what sold the church out to the state. Our churches were designed to be separated from the state, not influenced by the government. So all I'd say is the biggest thing you could do, if you get into a church that you like and it's a 501c3, you've got to make them aware of what their responsibility is, because the pastors can only lead so far if the flock is not willing to follow. So I think that's the big thing, is we have it upon ourselves to speak the truth in these churches to make sure they understand what their true responsibility is to the Lord.
That's one of the reasons I left organized churches, Chris. Although they were good people, they didn't understand the scriptures, and they didn't understand 501c3. They didn't want to learn it, so I walked on. But good call, Chris. You finished, or you want to say something else?
Well, I just want to say, we're winning quick. I know you got callers. We got a good state representative named Josh Bray. He wants to make Kentucky the Second Amendment sanctuary state. Do you know about that? I've heard
good
reports about him.
Yes. And some states are. Our state is, and we are one of the constitution carry states here, right next to you in West Virginia. Move over, join us. We carry without a permit any way you want to. Inside, outside, makes no difference. You can carry here as a constitutional carry.
A lot of support. We got one good guy up there. Let's get that little Cuomo Jr. governor out of here.
Okay. Good call, Chris. Thank you. Very good call. All right, folks. Got lines open. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Now, as I said, I won't be with you next week. I'll be on the road, getting ready to go back on the road again. So I just ask for your prayers that the Lord watch over us and protect us all as you travel, every one of us. That he would lay his hand, his face on this upcoming revival. That he would lay his Holy Ghost upon us in a sense that we cannot deny the word he gives us. They will preach it, filled with fire and the Holy Ghost. That people will see that there's power in the church, the true church of the living God. Those who call themselves churches are most generally social clubs that will not take a stand. But let's pray that the Lord will bless those who are willing to with a fire and a power that only heaven can give us. That the devils may tremble and men may fall to the knees repentance. Give us, if you would pray that he'd give us that authority, that power in us. Scott, we're down there about the last 5-6 minutes here, so I'm going to let you say a few things.
One more
quick call. Let's go to Mick in New Mexico. Mick, come on in. You're going to be the last caller. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Buck. How y'all doing?
Doing pretty well.
Okay, why have they all included SFAW.org into this as well?
What is again?
Repair for America.
Oh, well, I never even thought about that. They're welcome to join
somebody
if they want to. I never thought about
dead,
that.
Right?
Do what?
I said somebody went brain dead, right?
Well, not necessarily, just much in the mind. We can't keep up with it all. But yes, that's maybe an idea to send them an email and let them know what's going on, what we're going to Missouri. If you can do that, Mick. Send them a note and tell them we're going to be in Missouri. They can come and join us. That'd be great. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks, Carl. Jan, hurry. You got to be the last one. Go ahead.
I got to hurry. I just want to remind everybody extra special prayers for the pastor and his wife while they travel, while they're gone. And donate. And then I have something to, and thank you both for your service. And I said
You're
this
welcome.
Last night on another show. You men and women that went to serve your country and served your country loyally and well are not responsible for any of what goes on.
I agree.
Not
except
responsible for any of it.
We were pawns and cannon fodder. Thank you, Jan, for the call.
Right.
I hate to jump.
You're
I've got
welcome.
To get to... You, and I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you and go back on the air. But there'll be people here next week you can call and talk to. Okay. Thanks for the call. All right, we got about 4 minutes. You go right ahead now, Scott, and wrap it up.
Well, Pastor, I want to thank you again for having me on your show. It's always an honor and a pleasure. I think make sure that you check out bardsfest.com. Bardsfest.com. This is probably one of the most important events in our modern history, if not the history of the nation. This, to me, and I say this with all sincerity, we are on the cusp of losing all of our freedoms in this nation. And if you don't believe that's true, just start paying attention. Everything the pastor here said here tonight,
with COVID passports and mandates of masks and passports, and look around what's going on in Australia. They're already building COVID concentration camps. This is not a joke. We are in the cusp of losing everything. And this is a time when we have to begin our fight. Our counterfight now begins with us humbling ourselves before God. And that's the intent of Bard's Fest. Ironical thing is, it was never supposed to be like this, but God set these dates. We followed that, and here we are in a moment in time where we as a nation need to bow and put ourselves before Him, pray for the healing of this nation, and get the strength back in us to stand up in the gap and start moving forward to take this nation back. It is going to be up to us to make that stand to take this back. God is not just going to do everything for us. He's going to work through us. And if we don't have that strength together and begin with the humbling of this fight on our knees, we're not going to win this thing. We can win little battles, but this biggest battle is the spiritual battle that we have to confront and fight, and that begins with on our knees, and then as we rise to have the strength to walk in the body of Christ to face this enemy and crush it. But it is going to take every patriot out here, every God-loving, God-fearing, Christ-loving patriot out here to do this. And our nation has to reset itself back to the humbleness before God, with God on the throne above all things, if we expect to really bring this nation back. And no one's going to do it for us. We are the answer to this. We are the plan for the future. And that's the remnant of the power of the Christian community to do it, and not to sit in the pews, but to get into the world and be there in all places in the body of Christ to save this world. And,
amen.
And that's
amen.
It, Pastor. But thank you very much.
Oh, you're more welcome. And folks, keep this one thought in mind, because I heard it and it just stuck in my mind. There are no political solutions, no political solutions to a spiritual problem. No man's going to ride in on a white horse and save his country unless we repent before God. Judgment begins in the house of God, folks. Repentance should begin in the house of God. Repent, seek His face, and plead His will be done in all things, and let us be part of His will on earth. And Scott Kestrel, I cannot tell you how proud I am that you're out there doing what you're doing. And I know for a fact that what you're undertaking is a huge undertaking. I did some of these seminars, not nearly as big as what you got planned, but they were a load to carry. And I want to thank you for being there doing what you're doing and sticking to your guns, no matter what the devil's throwing in front of you. You're still standing. You keep it up, okay?
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate all your prayers and your blessings, and looking forward to having you there and meeting you and having some great conversations and awakening the many souls that need to hear these words.
Well, I expect you'll be so busy you won't have much time to do a lot of talking to people there as far as guests go, but you're going to have much to do while you're there. Believe me, you're going to be a very busy man.
I know. Very God busy will man. Keep me busy. I'm always going to find time for you. Don't worry about that. We can't.
I appreciate that. I do. I really do, and thanks for joining us tonight. Like I said, I will see you, Lord willing. I'll talk to you before then, I'm sure, but I'll see you next Thursday at Bard's Fest.
Not thank you, Pastor. God bless.
God bless you, friend.
God bless.
Thank you so much. Folks, we love you. And by the grace of God, I'll be back with you a week after next. Please feel free to call and talk to Crystal and take care. She'll take care of anything you need. And help us if you can to pay the bills. I'd appreciate that very, very much. Have a wonderful night, and God bless you all for what you're doing. Good night.
This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.